Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you
thrive. He's Daniel
M. My name is
Daniel
M. My name is Todd Adkins.
Okay, thank you. So we are in the middle of a mini-series on multi-site skills. For the last several episodes that Todd and I have been on together, the even-numbered ones. So if you are a part of a multi-site church, be sure to go back and listen to those ones. And you know what? There's a lot of the content, I would say, in these last several episodes that really would be unique to a multi-site church or a large church setting. So we apologize if you are a church plant of 50 to 100 and you're like, I am not going to have to deal with this for several years. We get that. And we do want to encourage you to look back into our archive or even just look at the unnumbered episodes at the time as Ed and I on the unnumbered ones focus a little bit more on church planting. But really, I know this is super niche, but today we want to talk about the nuance and the skill of changing your direct reports. So within the multi-site world and a multi-site setting, a multi-site church or a large church setting, there are going to be multiple times where you are going to be supervising an individual who used to be supervised by someone else. Or you have been supervising someone on your team and they are now going to someone else and you're, so there might be a swap or a change in team and all, and part of that is just because there's a large staff or because hopefully you have a leadership pathway, a leadership pipeline, right? And you are developing your people and all the way through. And now this person that you used to supervise is now going to lead another campus and you are bringing up another person into that pipeline. So changing your direct reports is going to be something that happens. And this is different than onboarding a new employee or a new team member, right? So this is, they used to be supervised by someone else at another campus or somewhere else. They know the church and now all of a sudden you're supervising them.
Right.
So in that situation, what are some skills that you think the supervisor needs to be aware of?
Well, first of all, you have to take a step back and from an empathetic posture. I know people are shocked right now that that's you have to take an empathetic posture and understand, is this person going to perceive this move as a lateral move with a different, just under a different leader, or are they going to see this as a downward move or an upward move? As well, because it's a little bit nuanced, because as your campus, as your campuses grow or your church grows, sometimes the people that are there, either they're not able to grow, with the church as fast as the church is growing, or it's just, it is what it is, and their skill set is different, or the structure needs to be different because, you know, you did have three campuses and it was organized like this. Now you have five campuses and we have to reorg. And so we can't, you know, not everybody can report to the lead guy anymore. Mm-hmm. The lead guy cannot have, you know, seven direct reports or 12 direct reports. It's just not going to work. And so in that process, somebody who was in a position of at least visually greater authority now may be shifted into a different spot where they may be paid the same, you know, they may have the same responsibilities, but because they don't have this title or they're not in this meeting, their identity is just taken from them overnight.
That is such a powerful insight. Even with another pastor that I was talking to recently, he was talking about the fact that, yeah, the lead pastor at that church is supervising seven people, and they're multi-site, right? And it's like, okay, so, and he knows it's like that, yeah, from a leadership pipeline perspective, yeah, you can't do that. That's not sustainable. But yeah, I mean, for a growing church, and whether you're multi-site or not, for a growing church, that is a real scenario where you're going to get to the point where the lead pastor cannot supervise everyone on the ministry staff or operations anymore. And there has to go from a one tier to perhaps two tiers, or, you know, levels, or three levels. So how would you, if you were that lead pastor, or if you were that, yeah, if you were that lead pastor, Todd, and you were breaking the news to one of your reports that they are now going to be reporting to the executive pastor instead, and yeah, they're going to have the same title, same responsibility, but perception wise, it almost kind of feels and looks like a demotion, where it's not, right? It's not a demotion, but you're right. The perception could feel that way because they don't have direct access to the lead anymore. How would you go about that conversation?
Well, I mean, okay. So first of all, some of it depends on the tenure the person has at the church and being with you. And then it also, that's the biggest thing. How long have they been with you? How long have they been at the church? And then helping them understand how this is better for, first of all, the church, and then second of all, for them. So it's almost a little bit of vision casting. So you've heard me say this before, listeners, that, you know, I'm stepping back. Anything that I'm thinking about, whether it's a few weeks off or, you know, day of or a year off, I'm trying to not be manipulative, but set things up so that it's easy, obvious, and strategic for everybody that we make this move. So this isn't something that you do overnight. You can really take a step back and begin to position it months in advance. So you can have an intentional approach to it, an intentional conversation, several months before you know that you're going to have the conversation, like the defining moment of, hey, here's what's happening. Your job is to set that up so that that is more easy, obvious, and strategic. It's more acceptable. There's less emotional loss, less loss of their identity in that. So it's that's something that, you know, you're like, well, I need to make this change yesterday. Awesome. It's going to be a lot harder to lead through that intuitively than intentionally. You're going to be much better off planning that out and leading up to that moment, so that you can really, what you're trying to do is prepare the ground, for lack of a better word. I mean, one of my uncles, used to talk about, or my dad one, you know, if you're going to cut down a tree, next to your house, you have to wait till the wind is blowing in the right direction. You don't start chopping on the tree until the wind is blowing in the right direction. So whatever analogy you want to use, whether it's preparing the ground or, you know, making sure the timing is right and things are going in the right direction, then yeah, do your best to do that, because you may be very skilled, but you're going to be much better off if you have things blowing in your favor, where it's easy, obvious, strategic, where this is going to land.
Yeah. That's good. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll continue this discussion. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders: Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's B-E-L-A-Y solutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. So you said something earlier about when breaking the news to share how this is better for the church and better for the direct report. And some of the stuff that you were talking about before is just classic wise change management, the process in and around how you change. So that's huge and really, really good from that perspective. But in this decision that you are making, you're right. There are three sides to it. There's how is this better for you? How is this better for the church? And how is this better for the direct report? And to actually hone in and lead with vision on this is how this is going to be better for the church and better for you, it's probably better that you place greater emphasis on those two and start with those two rather than starting with, you know what, I'm too busy, I need to do this, so you're going to now go to that person.
Right. I mean, like, that's what they're, yeah, that's what they're going to feel like. You're
shipping, yeah, them, that's right,
off your plate. And so, again, part of the reason why I had the caveat to start, it part of it depends on tenure. I mean, you need to really understand that this is, you know, this is a sigmoid curve kind of approach where, or three horizons, you know, kind of chart where I'm looking at preparing for the change itself, and then, you know, debriefing the change, because this is going to be a big change for these people. It really is. I like what you said, change management. Because I need to look at those phases intentionally and make sure that I'm doing it well. Otherwise, especially if I have an A player on my team, if I have a team of A players, it does become difficult because somebody is going to want to hire them. And this is a time where they, you know, if they don't feel valued and they don't feel connected, they may bounce. So,
yeah.
And you gotta be okay with that.
Yeah. And I think it's Lencioni that says this, where people don't leave organizations, they leave managers.
Yes.
So, I mean, just that in and of itself, you have to, and that's why I love that sigmoid curve on the end of it of debriefing, because this is, I know they might have the same job and job title, but it's kind of a big deal. They might still be within your church and all of that and same pay, or you might even be giving them more pay and all that stuff. But your manager, who your manager is, really does make or break. It really does make or break things.
And if you think you're an A, and you put another A player under a B player, their time is short.
Oh,
they're going to go.
I have seen that. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So you better be really careful, and really understand what you're doing when you do this. And it can't be, I mean, part of it is it needs to be about the person more than the position. So if you have campus pastors, as an example, if you've got a weak campus pastor or two, and you've got an A player children's person who's used to being directly reporting to the senior pastor, but you're like, well, we can't have the student pastor, the children's pastor, and, you know, this guy, and then three campus pastors man, he's got too many direct reports. So we're just going to make all the campus pastors report to the senior pastor now. And we're going to have all those other people report to the executive pastor or somebody else. Man, mm-hmm. It can really go south quickly if some of those other people are elevated and they don't have the leadership chops. They just have the title.
Yep. All right. So I know this is our podcasts aren't 30, 45 minutes, an hour long, but man, if there's anything within that conversation we just had that you're like, oh, go more, double click, zoom in, then you know what? We would love to do that. Just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, refer to the episode number, ask your question. Hey, elaborate more on that, or what about this? And or go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to do that. But without that extra kind of, hey, what about this? We're going to leave this episode there. And you know, on episode 598, we are going to be concluding our multi-site mini series skills by talking about video and live teaching, or video versus live teaching within a multi-site context. All right, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.